A fellow by the name of Jerry Falwell sent me this coin in the mail. I couldn't spend it, so I thought I'd make good use of it by using it to hold my transparencies on the overhead. It was nothing else that he can teach me from the Bible, because Jerry Falwell believes in a lot of false teaching that is not scriptural. But I can make use of this thing here he sent to me. I mentioned Tuesday night that we were going to study dealing with how to improve our worship, or ways to improve our worship. How many of us in this assembly tonight can improve on our worship? If you said, I don't need any improvement on my worship, that means you probably already reached perfection. And you are perfect. And you don't need God's word anymore. But if you said to yourself tonight, I'm short of it, I'm striving daily to improve my worship, and may God bless you, because you're showing God that you're still hungering and thirsting for righteousness. All of us in here need to improve on our worship. None of us are perfect. We're striving towards perfection, as Paul said in Philippians 3. We all are doing that. That's what we're doing. And besides, brethren, if you was already if you had already reached perfection, you wouldn't even be here tonight. There's no need for you to come to church either. So that shows God that you do want to improve and you want to learn. And that's why you didn't go to that football game over there across the street and you came to church. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the members here did go to that football game, because some brethren love sports more than come to gospel beating sometimes, even though that is a shame, that does happen. But we're going to study this subject tonight, ways to improve worship. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to give you the title for tomorrow ahead of time. Our study is going to be Matthew 6:33. It's one of my favorite sermons. It's Matthew 6:33. We're going to study God's word dealing with seeking first the kingdom of God. I believe that's the best sermon to close out this gospel meeting with tomorrow, since we've been talking about worship and dedication to God. Matthew 6:33 is going to check your dedication right away, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Men and women of all generations have worshipped something. Many still do today. Most of them have worshipped idols, false deities. Many have worshipped animals, birds, heavenly bodies, objects of all kinds, and their ancestors. Many do that today. But true worshipers follow the directions of God's word, the Bible. That's why I asked the brother that led the singing to sing that hymn we just sung. Man has no say in what, where, how, when, and why in regards to worship. Many try to question God today and they want to change worship. But we don't have no say-so in that. We're only supposed to do what God tells us to do. And that does not prevent them from adding or subtracting God's word, because many still do today. Many do, even some of my own brethren in the body of Christ. And such worship is not recognized by God. True worshipers are content to do as God directs. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 2 John 9 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. Men are always seeking how they can improve worship. Many are doing that today, right? But the problem with this is that generally what suits them is what they believe and what they try to set up and follow. Not what God wants, but what they want. But we as members of the Lord's church, we only want what God wants us to have. And we want to follow that pattern that we have from the New Testament. So we're going to study this lesson tonight dealing with ways to improve our worship. Because as I just mentioned to you, all of us in here are striving towards perfection, so we are not perfect. So hopefully this lesson will encourage us to live a life pleasing to God's sight. So here's the title we're going to study, ways to improve worship. I want to go right on to point number one of this lesson. In point one, we want to talk about the worship God demands need no improvement. It doesn't need an improvement. But that's the problem with man today. He wants to change things. He wants these things to suit him. And since God designed it, it is perfect in every way, isn't it? Why do man need to change what God has set up? Thousands have gotten in trouble with God because they tried to change his word from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And God has set his plan up, and we should follow that design that God has set up. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 25, we're familiar with this text. This scripture here tells us that we have a perfect law of liberty right here in our hands tonight. I believe that's referring to God's word. And we have a perfect law of liberty right here. Not only that, 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that we have everything that can make us complete in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. So God's design is perfect. And all we need to do is follow what the word of God tells us to do. Jude 3 tells us to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That lets us know that nothing else is coming. All these modern translations and these people talking about they're getting these visions and all kind of dreams and things like this, or write these books. They are false teachers. God's word is complete. This text makes it very clear. Listen at it again. Jude 3 says that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Of course, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says that too. It says that, 2 Peter 1, 3. Jude 3 tells us to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Nothing else is coming. God does not refine or update his will through trial and error. He doesn't do that. He does not take a survey to see what men want. Some believe he do, but he don't. He made it the right. He made it right the first time, and it doesn't need an improvement by us. And it's right every time. And then notice too, also, there is nothing you and I can do, nothing we can do that would improve upon God's revealed will. But there are some that would try. Many in the brotherhood today think that they can improve worship, so they desperately try to do so. They have instrumental music. Some Church of Christ have instrumental music. I called a congregation up in Ohio. I was just calling to try to get a lectureship book. It was an institutional church. I just wanted the lectureship book because I like to read and study them to keep up what's going on in the brotherhood. And I called this Church of Christ, and the preacher was there. And he answered the phone. I said, do you have, what is the name of y'all new lectureship book so I can purchase it? He said, do you know what church you just called? I said, yeah, I called the Church of Christ, right? He said, yeah. He said, but you don't know anything about us, do you? I'm telling you what he said. And I said, well, what do I need to know? He said, we believe in instrumental music here. He said, you called the wrong Church of Christ. He said, I think you wanted to call the one across town. I was so shocked, I couldn't say nothing to the man. So after he hung up, I called the one across town. He told me, oh, yeah, they believe in instrumental music over there. They do everything we do over here, except they use instrumental music in worship. They're trying to refine on God's teaching when God's word tells us not to do that. In other words, these brethren want to do this. They want to jazz it up. You know, we got a lot of brethren that want to do that today. They want to jazz up the worship service. So what do? They have entertainment. And they have groups to come in and sing for them. They have plays and skits. They have all kinds of things, fellowship meals. They invite denominational people to come over and fellowship with them and not teach them the truth. Now, recently, my wife and I was watching a TV program on, I guess they call it, I can't think of the name of the religious broadcast that come on, Inspiration, I believe that's the name of it. And we saw this fella in Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, called the Methodist Church there. He had a Church of Christ group singing for him. There were about 15 Church of Christ people singing for that Methodist Church. And this is what bothered me. Once they finished singing, the brethren, not the denominational people, the brethren said, we just worshiped with you, brethren, and we had a good time. And that kind of bothered me, and it bothered my wife. So we wrote the preacher and emailed him and asked him, do y'all believe in unity and diversity? And in case you're wondering what that means that we're not going to offend them. They're not going to offend us. They can come over here and preach for us. We can go over there and preach for them. We can eat and fellowship together. We won't try to say anything bad about them. They won't say nothing bad about us. We're just fellowship together. That's really what it means. And my wife asked him, did he believe in that? And he said, yes, I do. He said, we are tired. He said, for years, churches of Christ have stood behind walls throwing rocks at other denominations. He said, we need to tear those walls down and try to get along with those people. Isn't that something? Well, he wrote back. That's what he wrote. So I asked my wife to write him back again. And she wrote him again and asked him another question. And then he didn't respond to that one. Some dealing with the same thing. He didn't respond to it. So what are these brethren trying to do? They want to jazz it up a little bit. God ordained worship is not enough. Man wants to jazz it up. And so what they do, they add their own innovations. Innovations, in other words. Trying to change the worship service. And so I put down here, why bring in innovations? Why do it? Why do that? God's design needs no improvement. Doesn't need an improvement. Don't need a touching up by man. Doesn't need it. But that's what many believe in today. The singing. We don't need no instrumental music to go with singing. You know, I'm going to tell you something else I saw that really bothered me. And these preachers have college degrees. They have PhDs. They know Greek and Hebrew. And this preacher wanted to jazz up the Lord's Supper. So you know what he did? He said, I know you people sitting out there in the audience who are watching this TV broadcast. I know you can't get to a congregation. So I'm going to tell you what you need to do so you can take the Lord's Supper with us. I want you to go in the kitchen and get a pack of those sardine crackers and just bring them up in the front. And then if you don't have any juice, orange juice or any juice, go get some water and sit here and let's take the Lord's Supper together. Isn't that something? A man's supposed to be well taught in Hebrew and Greek, saying that you can take other things in the place of the Lord's Supper, eat crackers, sardine crackers that is, and drink water for the Lord's Supper. Isn't that something? These are people who are trying to improve on the worship of God. And God is not pleased with these brethren. As I mentioned earlier, some of our own brethren are trying to do this today. So we need to understand the ways that God wants us to improve on our worship. And so I think it's good for us to understand, first of all, that the worship God demands needs no improvement. God's design needs no improvement when it comes to singing, giving, prayer, Lord's Supper, and preaching. Now let's go to the second point. Man's participation or action in worship can be improved on. Yes, sir. Every single one of us in here tonight can do better in our worship. If we don't pray more, if we don't pray enough, we can pray more. If we don't study enough, we can study more. If we don't show reverence to God, we can show more reverence to God. So we can improve on doing what God wants us to do. We don't need to change the thing around, but we can improve on our worship. And so I put this here. How many of you can say I don't need to improve on my worship service to God tonight? How many of you can raise your hand and say that? I don't need to improve on my worship. I'm fine. Then there's something wrong with you spiritually. Because we all need to improve. Because we are not perfect. And we are striving towards perfection. And I put down, hopefully none of us will say that. And hopefully we won't. Hopefully we'll never say anything like that. And then let me mention this. Put the corny holders in place here. Notice it can be improved on here, which it can. It can be improved on. Men do that always because men don't always follow God's directions. So it can be improved because men do not always follow God's direction. Our minds can wander during worship service, can it? And sometimes we don't concentrate on things we should concentrate. Sometimes people go to sleep on the preaching. And I mentioned to brethren when I preach gospel meeting, don't you go to sleep on me, especially if you're sitting in the front bench. Because I have hurt brethren sitting on the front bench. I keep my shoe off one time and hit a brother with the shoe. So don't go to sleep on me. I might hold my Bible in my hand and do like this. It might slip, oops, and bam, hit you. So don't go to sleep in the front. Sit in the back and go to sleep. Don't go to sleep in the front. But it can be improved on because men do not always follow God's directions. Our intent and sincerity may not be as it should be. Isn't that true? We sometimes don't follow John 4:24 when it tells us that God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Sometimes we don't do that. That goes for all of us. We don't do it. We are working towards it, but sometimes we don't. And so now we're going to look at a couple other things. By the way, this lesson don't have 2 points in it. There's a long 2 points, but it's 2 points. In case some of you think I'm finna end the lesson. Let me get to the next one here. Let's go to letter C here. I want to work on letter C a little bit here. Let's talk about acceptable worship. Let's see what it takes for our worship to be acceptable to God. I believe we have to have preparation, which is one thing that we don't have a lot of. Most of the time we come to the worship assembly, a lot of brothers are not prepared. Look, if a brother or sister is going to lead songs, do like Brother Yater did. I seen Brother Yater yesterday just practicing those songs before he got in here. I just heard somebody yelling through the house, oh, no, no. I just let him sing. I ain't say anything to him. Because when I'm preparing for my sermon, I talk to myself too. I go over my sermon just word for word until I get it right. And a lot of young men don't prepare when they come to lead singing or prayer. They just get up and start talking and saying something. Or leading a song they don't know or they haven't practiced it. Preparation is involved in worshiping God in the right way, brother. We need that. We must prepare ourselves for worship. We do not worship by accident. We just don't fall into it. It's something you have to prepare to do. And then notice also, You see the other ones I got on here? We must prepare our body. How are you going to prepare your body? Well, what I mean by that is God demands respect. And we ought to honor him in the way we dress and carry ourselves when we come to worship service. Now, if you come to worship service looking sharp and nice and neat and smelling good, but then Monday morning you're dressing immodestly, you're being a hypocrite. You got to dress immodestly when you're not in church and when you're in church. And so we need to prepare our body when we come to worship. Shall we be dirty or slouchy, dressing inappropriately? No. We're to give God our best. We're coming before the master of the universe, the Lord of Lords and kings of kings. That's whose presence we're in right now. And we need to show God that reverence when we worship him as God's word teaches. So we need to prepare our body. The next thing we need to prepare is our mind. I want you to turn to First Chronicles, please. We're going to the Old Testament now. First Chronicles, the chapter is 28, and the verse is number 9. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. First Chronicles 28 and verse number 9. Notice what it says in this verse. Some of you already have it. I'm going to go ahead and read. As for you, my son Solomon, know the Lord, know the God of your father, and serve him with a what? Whole heart and a willing mind. What are we talking about here? Well, we have to prepare our minds when we come to worship service. If you have a problem with somebody, please correct it before you get in the assembly. Have your mind ready when you come to worship service. He said here, he says, with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. One I wanted y'all to notice was a whole mind, whole heart is involved in what we're doing. John 4:24 talks about that too, because when you worship God, you got to have the right attitude, the right heart. Like Brother Hayfley said, not the blood pump, but the mind, the conscience, got to be right when you serve God. Put aside affairs of the world. Concentrate upon the purpose for assembling with the saints. Bring your Bible, please. A lot of brothers don't even bring their Bible anymore. Reminds me of this sister that wanted to show off in front of the preacher she had over her house eating a meal. I went over many brethren's house this week to eat meals. None of them did that. I'm glad they didn't. But this sister wanted to show off in front of the preacher. So she said, son, bring mama that book that she loved more than anything in the whole world. Bring it to mama. She wanted to show off. Her son brought her the TV guide. Well, that's what she read all the time, the TV guide. So she brought it to her. That's what she loved more than anything else. We need to put aside the fails of the world. Concentrate on God and bring your Bibles. Don't bring it only. Open it and use it. I know preachers tell you to turn to a script, and by the time you turn there, they don't read it already. They're already somewhere else. I do that too myself sometimes. And I know preachers sometimes say, I'm finna close this lesson now, and they preach another point and another point. Well, bring your Bibles and open them and read God's word. Then look at the next one here, deals with time. We must prepare to be on time. Yes, brother, we must. I used to say this, and I felt ashamed of saying it. I don't feel too much ashamed anymore. The congregation where I used to, when I first started preaching in Starkville, they used to, members used to stay right next door to the building, just like from here to the parking lot. And would you believe that they couldn't get there on time for service? And we had a brother that drove 80 miles round trip every Sunday to come to worship service, and he gets there 15 minutes early. And the sister and brother that stayed next to the building couldn't even get to the Bible class on time. And that's just ridiculous. So are we late for appointments, for work, or school? The answer most likely is no. What about coming to church on time? Yes. We are late because we plan to be late. Sometimes we do. We don't plan to do any better. We don't want to be late for judgment. You're not going to miss that one. You can be late for anything else, but you ain't going to be late for that one. And when we are habitually late, we are not showing proper respect for God. Isn't that something? Now, look at this. If they have a funeral, a movie, a sports event, or something else going on, a doctor's appointment, you are always there a little early. And when you go to work, you get there early. Some brethren will, if their car flip over, they'll flip that car, will try to get to work. They want to get to work. And then when it comes to coming to the Lord's service, they don't seem to have any sense of desire to want to be there on time, but they need to realize that they're worshiping God. They're not serving man, they're serving God. So we're looking at ways to improve our worship. We need to be on time. And then notice also, we need to have the right attitude. Now that's what we just got through talking about from the book of John chapter 4. We just mentioned that, but we need to have the right attitude. If we are constantly rushing around, trying to get ready, fussing with the kids, arriving late, and finally getting settled in our seats, our attitude and disposition for worship cannot be the best in the world. So we have to take a few minutes to set our minds right for worship service. We must be in the proper frame of mind to worship Jehovah. Brethren just don't realize who God is. I believe the brethren I preach at now, I don't think they really fully understood or understand who they were serving. So I preached a whole series of sermons dealing with God to try to convince them so they can see who they are serving. So they'll show more reverence to God and more respect for God. And I preached and it did change some of their minds. We need to understand who we are serving. So we must prepare our attitude. Many Christian brethren spend more time preparing for work, hunting, fishing, or doing something else than they do being with the saints. Amen. You know, Brother Hayford, I got a sign I normally carry that says amen. I didn't bring it, though. And I hold it up and say amen. And then sometimes white brethren just don't want to say amen. So they nod their head, so I have on the other side of it, uh-huh. So you can uh-huh. So I know what to do, okay? Well, let's move on. Let's go to the next. Let's talk about acceptable worship also must be focused. You have to be focused when you come to worship service, too. You know, I played football before, and I played a lot of sports before. And I tell you what, you think it's a joke or something when you see these guys on the football field, NFL, beating each other pads and beating their heads against the wall and trying to get their mind right. That's what we do. You bang on things trying to get ready, trying to get your mind focused. That coach wants you to have that mind focused when you get on that football field. And, you know, when we come to service, we ought to have our mind focused on getting ready to serve and worship God. God's word teaches us to do that. And now you notice here the things I got on here. Acceptable worship must be focused. We must have an attitude of giving, not getting. A lot of brethren like to get, but they don't like to give anything. They come to service, they hear somebody preach, it's good sermon, yeah, good. What are they giving? Are they giving their time and heart to the lesson? Are they giving their hearts and singing the songs and going along with the prayer? That brother just led a wonderful prayer. I wonder how many of you recognize that prayer he just led. I was listening to every word he led, every word. And it meant something. Well, we got to give something to God, not get everything, but give. We're assembled to offer God our devotion, admiration, and dedication, and to give unto him everything we have. That's what we're supposed to do. We have the wrong attitude when all we can think about is what we will do when we get out of service. Some people do that. Someone says, I don't get anything off out of worship. You ever heard that before? I have heard people say that a lot. I don't get anything out of worship. The reason that such an individual don't get anything out of worship is because they don't put anything in it. You don't put nothing in, you're not going to get anything out. It's just that simple. You don't go up to a Coca-Cola machine where they sell you canned drinks and think you're just going to stand there and push those machines and expect the soda to fall down. That soda ain't going to fall down until you put, well, to fall down, somebody put 50 cents in there. And they forgot to hit the button and left it in there. I don't seen that happen before. So I got soda free doing that sometimes. But normally you're going to have to put something in there to get one out, right? It's very simple. That's a very simple illustration. I'm very simple. I'm not a hard person to understand. And so if we're going to get something from God, we're going to have to give something. Don't walk out of service saying I didn't get anything. I don't care if you didn't like the sermon, Brother Hayford preached. Some brethren don't like the sermons I preach. They say, I don't like that sermon. The reason they don't like it is because they ain't put nothing in it. They listen. They're going to learn something because I'm not going to tell you what I'm thinking off the top of my head. I'm telling you what God's word says. And so they're not getting anything out of God's word. Not from me. And so we need to understand we need to put something in it. And then entertainment. Worship is not entertainment. Our minds should be focused on what God wants, not what we want. That's the problem with our brethren right now. They want group singing and fellowship build. I'm going to keep on saying it because we have it going on. There are some congregations further down the road, probably in other little small towns, where they have institutional churches that have all kinds of things going on that they have no scripture authority for. Sooner or later, they're going to have pie sales and fish fries pretty soon, watch and see. They're going to drift right into that, just like the denominational people. Our minds should be focused on what God wants, not what we want. Worship is not a spectator affair. Each one participates. We don't assemble to see and be seen. We assemble to worship God in spirit and truth. Now, can you run worship service when it comes to singing? Can you improve on it? We can. We can improve where I'm at. We can improve. Our song service is for the praise of God, not to impress others with our ability. We don't come here to show off and see who can sing the best. We come here to sing the best we can so God will be lifted up and his name will be praised. Because some of our voices, if God judges by our voices, we won't get a good grade. We won't get a good grade. We ought to focus on the sentiments of the song. When you sing a song, concentrate on the words of the song. I do it every time. I try to get something out of the song. Concentrate on the meaning of the words. Make your singing heartfelt. Singing is a congregational affair where we not only praise God, but teach and admonish one another through songs and hymns. That's why singing groups are wrong. There are no scriptural authority for singing groups. And the scripture these brethren try to use to justify is a poor excuse. They say, Paul said, bring a hymn and bring this. And they say, that means that we can supposed to sing. We can have solo singing. That's not what God's word says. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16 tell us to sing. We sing with each other. We don't sing to be entertained. We sing to learn from each other through the words. We teach and admonish one another through songs and hymns. And then let's look at the next one here. Well, here's the scriptures I use for that right there. Ephesians, they are the scriptures in case you want them. Hebrews 13:15, fruit of the lips. I just put that one on there. Now, let's look at the next part here. I want to talk about acceptable worship does not give God the leftovers. We're not supposed to give God our leftovers. We can't do that. God don't want our leftovers. We're to give God from the top and not from the bottom. We give as we purpose in our heart on the first day of the week. And when we do it cheerfully. No preacher has a right to get up and tell you how much to give. I preached on tithing for 7 weeks on the radio broadcast. I had the whole city mad with me. Every preacher around the Starkville area was mad with me because all of them were black. And boy, they were highly upset. I even had their members call me and tell me, our preacher was talking about you in the pulpit yesterday. What did he say? He said, don't you listen at that car. Well, that fella's nothing but a false teacher telling us we can't tithe and we can't pay tithe. And so when I found that out, I wrote it down, took advantage of it. I went back to the Old Testament because they try to say that that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Yeah, yes, he did. But what they failed to realize was that God didn't command him to do that. And he gave 10% of the spoils that he had. He did not give 10% of what he had, his merchandise of what he had. There's no command. The command came when the Old Testament law came into existence. And then they were told to tithe because they could take care of the priests. Because the priests couldn't go out. They worked in the temple. They worked around the ark of the temple. They couldn't go out. So that's how they were supported. And so that's why they did that. We don't have no command in the New Testament to do that. And these priests would be telling them that you must pay your tithes. I would never get up here and tell you, brethren, that you must pay 15% of your earning. I have no right to do that. Only thing I can tell you to do is give as you have purpose in your heart, like God's word says, and do it cheerfully, not grudgingly or of necessity. That's the only thing I can tell you. These fellas try to tell you what to give and then tell you you're going to hell and you're not going to be blessed by God if you don't give your tithes. Isn't that something? God's word never taught that. Paul never taught that. I guess that's why those fellas were mad with me, because I was hurting their pockets. Some members say they're not going to give their tithe. They said they weren't going to give over what they could. Someone called me and told me they weren't doing that anymore. But anyway, we need to make sure we sing and praise God and make sure when we sing these songs that we are lifted up in these songs. And let's also make sure that when we sing or when we give on the first day of the week, that we do it from the top and not from the bottom. Is there any possible way for us to glorify God any more than our giving? That's one way you do it right there. The word given describes Jesus from the time he came into the world until the time he went back with his heavenly Father. Jesus was a giver. He gave his life. He sacrificed his life for mankind. He helped the poor and the needy and those that needed help. Christ helped them. If we follow Jesus in our giving, we will improve on our worship. Yes, you will. We will. We can never give to the ultimate like Christ did. But we can try and give as we purpose in our heart. And then I wrote this down today, because I'm always writing something up. I wrote this. The Jews' attitude in the book of Malachi chapter 1, it was wrong. They were giving God their worst. They weren't giving God their best. They were giving God their worst. And not only were the Jews doing it, but the priests were doing it too in Malachi chapter 2. So I asked the question, what about us? Are we too giving God our leftovers? And I put down here, we normally give leftovers to dogs. But if you take the word dog and turn it around, it's G-O-D, God. We give leftovers to dogs. We don't give leftovers to God. We give God our best. Everything we got, we give them. You can never outgive God. You can give all your money if you want to. Every penny you got, you'll never outgive them. And you're still an unprofitable servant, even if you did it, according to Luke 17 and verse 10. But that doesn't mean we can't do our best. So do we treat God that way? Shouldn't. But that's how these people were treating God, and he was not pleased. Now, let's quickly look at the last one. I told you, I'm about ready to quit. Let's look at this last point here. Acceptable worship will avoid distractions. I said whacking because I couldn't think of whipping. I was trying to spell the word whipping. I couldn't spell it. I got a lot of them, but I couldn't spell the word. So I put whacking your children. That don't mean you take them out and shoot them. You know, the gangsters use the word, let's whack them. That's not what I'm talking about. I know somebody will say, he's saying whack your children. I say whack them. That's the same, whoop them, spank them, okay? But anyway, acceptable worship will avoid distraction. Now, you know, I put down, these are some of the things I've thought of. Don't play with your babies during worship service. A lot of children and parents do it sometimes. Try not to do that. Don't give them noisy objects if you can help it. Don't play or carry on a conversation. A lot of people, kids play in the auditorium. Some parents don't let their children do it. They hit their children and spank them when they do that, to learn them and teach them how to respect God when they come to the assembly. And then come to service, be on time when you come, because that's another thing that distracts people is when they're late. I don't know why people do it, but when you hear the back door shut and it's after the time, somebody, you have a tendency to turn around and look. See who it is. Take your mind off what you're doing. Take your mind off of worship. Don't do that. And I say whacking the children, now why me spanking them? Now, you can spank the children, but please don't spank them in the auditorium. We got brothers that do that in the church. They are. Boy, I mean, when I'm preaching, I hear, and then I hear everything is real quiet. I know something coming soon. And boy, that loud cry comes. And so I have to stop preaching for a couple of seconds. But my wife is smart. She just takes the baby right on outside and take the little kid in the bathroom, and then you can hear him in there. But some of you brothers, you don't believe in spanking your children. You know, we're getting so now, people today believe you're supposed to spank your children. You know, let them come up the way they want to come. Take them in there and talk to them. And there's nothing wrong with talking to them. And hopefully that'll change their minds. And some of them even say, well, send them up to the room. Get up to your room. If you want right there, you ought to wash those dishes. Get up to your room and stay up there until you get a better attitude. And when you think you know better, come on back downstairs. Can't go upstairs, go in his room. He got a computer in there. He has a little Xbox in there. He got everything he needs. You ain't disciplined nobody. I'm going to used to tell her, if you don't rake the yard, you ain't eating. Oh, boy. And I love to eat. So I rake the yard and ask for more. But let's remember this, brethren. Our worship has to be pleasing to God. Everything we talked about tonight, these are just ways that we can improve our worship before God. None of us in here can say that we can't do any more, because I would tell you right now, I have a long way to go. I have to work on a lot of things. So I haven't reached perfection. And I can improve my worship to God. And I hope that you will have the same mind, that you will do what you can to improve your worship to God by worshiping and serving him. We need to do that daily. Never say you know enough. You don't need to study your Bible no more. I don't need to pray much anymore. And the older members here, and I'm not being disrespectful when I say older members. Sometimes older members get to the point where they figure they don't need to read anymore. We'll just go to church and just sit up and listen to the sermons, and we'll just go home, won't read, won't, you know, come to church much anymore. Don't let that happen. You've been working too long just to give up and not to be faithful to God. Matter of fact, when you're getting closer to those older years, you ought to be even more dedicated, because I'm not being funny, but you know you may not be around that much longer. So you're to give God all you got so that you can make heaven your home when you pass from here. You can make heaven your home. Anyway, I hope the things I said tonight, and let me give the conclusion here on my lesson. Lesson is no good if you don't give a conclusion on the lesson. And here's my conclusion of the lesson tonight, right here. Though God-ordained worship is perfect, man's participation in it, and many times is lacking. Isn't that true? God shows us what he wants to do, but many times we're lacking. So could your worship, could my worship stand improvement? My answer is yes. I would tell you right now, yes, I can stand some more improvement. Well, I want to give the Lord's invitation tonight. And hopefully this invitation will cause us to, if you're here, you're not a Christian, because we had non-Christians come out a couple times here to the gospel meeting. And I want them to understand what the plan of salvation is. So here's my chart for the plan of salvation. Very simple again. I put up here FS, five steps to salvation. Now, I'll push it up as I go. But just remember FS. And really, that means five senses. Now, we see, touch, smell, hear, taste. Now, I'm going to ask this question. Can you function if you didn't have all five of these? I believe you could. You can function if you can't see. You still can eat. You still can smell. You still can get around. You can function if you can't hear. But I tell you what, it'll be hard to make it without taste. Very difficult. Or when you can't touch or smell, very difficult. But you still can make it without these, with one or two of these. But I tell you what, you can't miss out on this. You can't leave one of these out. You got to hear God's word. You must believe that Jesus Christ is God's son and that he died on the cross for all mankind. You must be willing to repent of your sins tonight. Repent, change your mind, change your heart. Jesus said, I'll tell your neighbor, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then you must confess Christ to be the Son of God. Confess like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8:37. Then you must be baptized in water for remission of sins. Baptism saves you. Now, these are five simple things we're familiar with, but you can still function without one of these or two of these. But you can't function without one of these. You can't be saved. If you decide you want to heal, believe, but you won't repent, and you be baptized, you won't be saved. You got to do all of them together, and you can't leave one out. And if you are a member of the Lord's church, but you said to yourself tonight, you know, I haven't been improving on my worship service, but hopefully this sermon will help me to want to do better. Well, just repent tonight and ask God forgiveness. You just might just need to turn your heart over to God and start doing better. We all can do better, brother. We're going to stand now and sing the invitation song.